Twice a month, the Mat-Su School Board meets to discuss any and everything that affects local schools.
I call this regular meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District to order.
This is In Summary with Emily Forsman.
I'm Emily Forstner with the In Summary broadcast for the Mat-Su School Board meeting on Wednesday, December 1st. After an election, board members elect new officers. It's called reorganization. Rewind to the last board meeting. A monkey wrench was thrown into the process when member Jim Hart nominated Ryan Ponder for board president. In this one-part unusual and one-part unprecedented action, the board was unable to break the tie for president between Ryan Ponder and Ole Larson. In effect, it canceled the meeting within minutes. On this Wednesday, all seven members were present, and this time around, it was as if the wheels were greased. The board reorganized itself within 5 minutes, one through a vote, and two positions secured by default.
We'll now move on to selection of officers. I am reopening nominations for the president of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District. Are there any nominations?
I nominate Ryan Ponder for president.
I nominate Ole Larson.
The tie that created the stalemate last meeting was broken. Ryan Ponder was elected president. Next came the nomination for vice president.
Are there any nominations for vice president?
I nominate Tom Berge.
Decline.
So, member Hart nominated himself.
Nominate myself.
Any others? Hearing none, by default, we will have Mr. Member Hart as our vice president.
Member Probasco replaces retired member Sarah Welton's position as board clerk.
I nominate Mr. Probasco.
Any others? All right. Hearing no declining, member Probasco will be our clerk.
Action items rolled through quickly. Unanimous votes accepted BP 3312, which extends the threshold for board approval for professional contracts from $200,000 to $250,000. The seismic mitigation grant was approved. And after a brief discussion on food waste with Ole Larson.
Over the years, I've gone and visited schools and talked to teachers and nutrition people. There is a tremendous amount of waste. Kids don't open up their cold packs. Everything ends up in the garbage. And it just seems like we're now adding another layer of possible waste. Is there anything we can do?
And logistics with Ryan Ponder.
You had indicated that these are not served with at other meal times. But how does this affect learning? When is time now being carved out of the education day? And then I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I've heard we offer breakfast, daily we offer lunch, but then I heard recently perhaps dinner and now maybe snacks. And I'm just wondering, something is giving here, and that's going to be the time for reading, writing, and arithmetic. If you could address that, that'd be great. Thank you.
The $433,000 fresh fruit and vegetable grant was also accepted unanimously. The Kinnick Cultural Charter School team presented their proposal and application to the board. Educator John Lamont opened the presentation with a general overview.
The school will constitute a unique blend of educational options, families that will draw from Alaska Native and American Indian cultural learning in ways. Our charter school will strive to provide culturally rich education options for students in environments that respect and honor Indigenous students and their families. The school will build a solid foundation of culturally responsive educational programs that will be offered through several options, including on-site learning, blended learning, and a homeschool correspondence program.
Spokesperson for the proposed charter, Carl Chambly, fielded questions and concerns.
Well, through the chair, I think we're breaking new ground. for the state of Alaska and having a tribal partnership with an APC and a charter application. And so there will be quite a few discussions going down the road as to what's the most efficient, what's the best way to meet the needs of the charter school and also be within the letter of the law.
In the past, a sticking point for charter schools has been the issue of facility. Knik Cultural Charter is no different. Member Larson reminded Mr. Chambly that the borough owns the buildings, not the school district, or even the charter.
I guess this is more of a question of administration. All our charter schools, and according to the statutes, I believe, is the charter physical plant or the actual school belongs to either the borough or the city. That a private entity that has the charter, in this case Knik, can't own the property itself.
When Mr. Chambly explained that the school is looking into leasing a building, Larson pushed back again, citing experience with previous charter schools and the issues of who's responsible for what.
Yeah, because on a lease option, then you fall on who's going to maintain it, maintenance, and I mean, all the other million of aspects as we've been dealing with all our charters, which we eventually try to build our own charter schools so we can get out of the leases. But I just kind of indicated that they had the property there, but they can't. I don't know how that works, but I don't believe the charter school can own its own property. Under state statutes is all I'm talking about.
Mr. Chambly assured Mr. Larson state guidelines would be followed.
Correct. And I think in the charter application, we made it clear we would follow the borough code and make sure that we're following that through the letter. There are several options. Like I said, once we get approval, we can go deeper into the options, and really there's a lot of unknowns yet, but we plan to collaborate closely with the school district administration and work together to come up with a solution that works.
The school plans on using a blended model of instruction that can attract students from across the state.
We really just want to be a one-stop shop for parents and families that are coming to our school for the services and the unique services that we provide, so that they don't have to go to different places.
Knik Cultural was not the only charter school Member Larson expressed concerns regarding buildings and liability. Academy Charter plans on constructing a new 30-by-80-foot pre-engineered metal building this summer. It wasn't the $600,000 price tag he was concerned about. It was sprinklers.
I don't understand how a 30-by-80-square-foot building did not have a sprinkler system and safety for the children that are occupying it under borough code. Even though it is a charter, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that should be looked into a little bit further. I know a sprinkler system is expensive, but it does save lives. And if it's a capacity of 49, are they going to count every individual that walks into that building? And if there is a fire in there, with more than 50 people in it, who's the liability fall back on?
Assistant Superintendent of Finance Luke Fulp said Mr. Larson's concerns would be relayed to the architect.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we can assure you is we understand the concern that was expressed this evening. Our facilities department will be involved with the architect and engineer all along the way. We'll definitely relay these concerns to them and make sure that no one's caught off guard when it comes before the board for approval.
Dr. Traney's superintendent reported to the board the progress on the increase in advanced placement enrollment throughout the district. This is referred to by many as AP for All. He used the analogy of a hockey stick shape.
I don't know if anybody's familiar with this term of hockey stick growth. It's pretty, it's used a lot in business. They end up talking about a lot of it in profit, and you can see one of the graphs that I grabbed off Google search here talks about profit on the left. But it's basically you're looking to make something, a change in a system, and then when you do that change, and if you've done it correctly, you'll see this sudden growth. They'll be like, A long flat period, maybe a little dip when you're right in the middle of the change, and then you see sudden growth.
For instance, last year at Colony High, 88 students enrolled in an AP course. And so far this year, 642 at Colony High have an AP course. That's the sudden growth found in the hockey stick model. Dr. Traney went on to describe that enrollment numbers, though, were just one part of the stick.
So then this is only part of the story. There's the number of students, and then there's the number of courses that they take. That would be future graphs a couple of years from now.
Member Hart wondered if there was evidence of improved achievement. Dr. Traney explained that the goal of increased AP coursework was layered. Earning a 3, 4, or a 5 on an AP exam was part of the goal, but academic growth was the bullseye.
Everyone likes to slip into the vernacular of I passed or I didn't pass. If you talk to AP, they're like, we don't ever use the word pass, didn't pass. A 2, for especially in a program where you're moving to AP for all, a student who gets a 2, that may represent the most growth for that kid of anybody. They aren't college ready yet, but they have grown an awful lot. Like, you can't take an AP test and accidentally get a 2. It's not, that's just not how they happen.
Mr. Ponder asked Dr. Traney what he had heard from principals at the school level about AP for All.
Like, I've heard many times, like, the flywheel is turning, the flywheel is going faster. Like, they see the growth, they can see this growth. They know what's happening at their school, and like, yeah, this is fun. Let's keep the flywheel going and keep it going faster.
Dr. Traney shared good news for the Houston High community. All dirt work is done on the new building, foundations poured, steel erection in the academic wing done, and
last I heard, still on pace. We haven't had any, like, dramatic, it's not dramatically behind or anything. It likely will be a phased opening. Thank you for knocking on wood.
18,895 students are enrolled in school this year, 240 students short of projection. 85% of students attend in person, and as of Thursday, 100% of Mat-Su schools were in the green in the COVID mitigation plan. Masks recommended. Attendance remains a district-wide concern. Associate Superintendent of Human Resource Katie Gardner presented Resolution 22-003. This is in support of the Arctic Winter Games held in 2024 in the Mat-Su. The resolution extends spring break by 2 days.
What the Arctic Winter Games host society has requested of the board is that we approve a slightly expanded spring break in the spring of 2024. That would have a teacher in service day on a Thursday, no students or staff in school on Friday, no students or staff in school during the typical spring break, and then no students or staff in school on that next Monday. The Friday is going to be used to basically set everything up. Saturday through all the way till the next Sunday is a full host of games and events that they'll be participating in. And then Monday will be the day where everything is taken down.
And it seems it was social media overshare for the win.
And the big debate on social media is, oh my God, what are they going to do? Make us work another week in the spring or in the fall.
He recommended that the district be upfront on where the extra 2 days would come from to beat back the rumors.
So the 2 days, when we go to vote on it, it would be nice to know where the 2 days are possibly going to come from, or a montage of where they're going to, because social media also said, it got really carried away. It said that they were going to, the school board was going to eliminate a week out of Christmas break and put it on spring break. So
Ms. Gardner clarified for the record, but could not say how the 2 days might be made up.
I hate to venture a guess as to where those days will come from since we haven't done that calendar planning, but essentially we will have to make some adjustments to meet the requirements of state law for a school term. And so those 2 days will have to be accounted for somewhere, but it's not a full week. It's just those 2 days.
as things go, it was a pleasant ride with the board on Wednesday. Action items for seismic grants and healthy food passed unanimously. An application detailing the long-awaited for Knik Cultural Charter School is in process. In support of the upcoming Arctic Winter Games in March of 2024, spring break has been recommended to be extended by 2 days, not 2 weeks. But make no mistake, if the board meeting on Wednesday was a smooth and straight ride, the reorganization of the board's officers was a turn of events. Tune in on December 15th for the next school board meeting live streamed right here on Big Cabbage Radio and the in-summary broadcast following on Friday, December 17th. Until next time, stay safe and stay well.
This has been In Summary with Emily Forstner. The Mattsu School Board meets twice a month, and streams of the full meetings are available on RadioFreePalmer.org. This piece is a production of Big Cabbage Radio. Questions about the program can be directed to manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.